Hey everybody, it's Maylee Thomas and Texas Homegrown Music, and I've got a really interesting show for you today because I am going to talk to a drummer. Yeah, yes, you know, they are a vital part of the band, and I just got to know this cat recently and found out that he was a drummer for Whiskey Town and the Damwells, and he's a really talented dude and great singer too. So I'm going to play some music from those two bands, and we're going to talk to Steve and Terry about his life on the road and what it was like to be a part of those bands for so many years. Now he's moved to Texas and opened a restaurant, and it's a really cool restaurant too, so we'll talk about that as well. Before I do though, I'm going to sing a song for you called Stained. And I guess I'll give you a little background. This song was actually written because we had just gone through New Orleans right after Hurricane Katrina had hit. And I noticed the stains on the buildings from where the water had risen up. And even after it descended, how the stain was still there. And it represented something that had happened to that building. But I thought it was really unique and interesting to take that whole concept to people as well. So I'll sing the song for you called Stained. And when we come back, we'll be with Steve and Terry.
Today's TV showed another tragedy. Pictures of sadness in the crescent city. Water keeps rising, the children are hiding. And yesterday's life flows out of the tide. I turned my back to go on with my day, but my
I'm
Well, here we are, Texas Homegrown Music, and my friend Stephen Terry. And I, gosh, Stephen, I had no idea how really, really engrafted into the music scene you have been these past couple decades. So we're going to talk about it more than that, probably the last 3 decades. But because we have a mutual friend, by the way, say hi to everybody.
Hello. How are you?
Because we have a mutual friend, John Christopher Davis, that is probably one of your biggest fans, by the way. I have to say I'm so appreciative of him introducing me to you, but it was on, you know, the platform of you coming in and doing something completely different than music. And for those of you that don't know, Stephen's just moved here. So you're a transplant, and I want to hear where you're all from, because I know that, you know, you're from the East, yeah, of course, most of it. But tell me about how you grew up and what got you into music in the first place.
Well, you know, I think with our good friend John, we had a lot of similarities. And I think with you as well. Grew up in good old Christian Pentecostal churches out in the mountains of West Virginia. And, you know, as my father was becoming more established, you know, he had to, quote unquote, you know, pay his dues. So we had a van, and his brothers played organ and guitar and so on and so forth. And we used to travel around, and, you know, we'd end up in these little churches out in the mountains, and, you know, they needed someone to hold it all down. So I got a drum kit and it kind of went from there.
So, I mean, was it you that wanted to play drums, or did you just see the need for it?
Well, I was just bored, you know, how any kid is. And you know, music, in my opinion, was a little bit boring, you know, to see my Aunt Bernice holding down the backbeat with a tambourine and, you know, just a tambourine and an organ. And I was like, you know, we could really help get this thing going a little bit more. And I think, obviously, the full band feel appeals to, you know, a younger generation, appealed to a younger generation as the church was making that generational change from old school gospel to new school gospel.
Sure.
And so I wanted a drum kit, and my father's board, they met and they said, no way, we're not going to get a drum kit. It's going to be too loud. It's going to be too this. It feels too new age. It feels too this. And my grandmother said, well, either he gets the drum kit or I'm going to a new church.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Grandma.
Grandma had some pull there. And so I got a new drum kit. And that was sort of the start of it. I mean, I picked it up around I was already playing, but I picked it up formally where I was playing 3 or 4 times a week, and youth meetings and Saturday night service and Sunday service and any other event that they had going on, you know, 3 or 4 times a week. So that's when I really started focus in on, wow, I really like doing this. I'm good at it. Everyone seems to like it. And, and then I was a singer as well. So I got the, got the role of being the drummer and the backup singer who did harmonies. And, you know, that kind of followed me right on through until 30 years later, you know. So it, it gave me the foundation, though, you know.
So you grew up in West Virginia, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, grew up in West Virginia and played in numerous bands in high school. Had a band called Blitzkrieg and played in another band called Landslide. You know, we were cover bands, you know, growing up in the 80s. So we all had big hair and I ended up in a band called The Lie my senior year in high school, and all three of the other guys had graduated, and they hired me to play with them, and they were going to move to Charlotte, North Carolina. They had a management deal in Charlotte, North Carolina, and a potential record deal opportunity. So I graduated and I moved down there for a year, skipped college, moved down there for a year. And then while we were down there, a record producer named Mark Williams over in Charlotte introduced us to some people in Raleigh, North Carolina. And so we packed up and moved to Raleigh for the same management deal. And that's how I met Ryan Adams. I was playing a show on the weekend with this band called The Lie and playing in a couple of cover bands. And Ryan happened to be at the venue and came up after the show and was like, man, I love how you play. And I'm like, well, thanks a lot. And he's like, I'm a local musician and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, this is great. He's like, I'd love to play with you sometime. And I was like, okay. And I had actually heard of him because he had the Whiskey Town before I was in it.
Right.
And so he I said, you're already in a band. He said, yeah, but, you know, I'm going on to bigger things. So I'd like to play with you in the future. And, you know, fast forward 5 or 6 months, Brian got bigger in the Raleigh scene, started getting some, you know, national attention and so on and so forth. And I was bartending one night at a place called the Black Dog Cafe. And he came in. It was a Wednesday night. And he came in and sat down at the bar. And he said, I'm going to New York tomorrow. I'm signing a record deal. And I was like, sure you are. You know, sure you are. You and everyone's going to sign a record deal, right? And he said, no, I'm going up there with Phil, who was the guitar player at the time. And he said, we're going to sign a record deal. And 2 days later, he called me back and said, I signed with Geffen Records and I want you to be my drummer. And Josh Greer, who's a huge attorney for all the major stars, an entertainment attorney in New York, he's going to be calling you. And fast forward, that's exactly what happened.
Wow. And so you went from being a bartender to being on the going on the road with Whiskey Town, huh?
That's right. I was taking classes at NC State, trying to work my way through college. I was bartending on the weekends and doing some building and construction and stuff like that during the week, anything I could to make money and pay my way through college. And, you know, I was like, you know, this is opportunity of a lifetime. They were, you know, at that point, they were offering us money. We were going to be at a big signing bonus, which right. in today's terms is pennies on the dollar. And so they signed Ryan and Phil. They were, you know, it was a Whiskey Town thing, but two people were signed out of the entire band. Okay. And myself and Caitlin and Jeff, the bass player, you know, we were in the band, but we didn't sign quote unquote the record deal with the band.
Well, were they writing the material? Those two were pretty much writing all the stuff.
Well, Ryan came in with a record he had already put out with Whiskey Town as Whiskey Town. And that was a great record. It wasn't very well done, you know, but it's still one of my favorite bodies of work that he's ever done. To be honest, it's a great record. I think Midway
Park. What's the name of that record?
That record was called, oh, geez. That one was called, well, he had one that was called Jacksonville Skyline, but he had another one that was called, oh, geez, I totally forget. That one had Midway Park. One of my favorite songs I've ever heard in my life is a song called Midway Park off of that record. So I had already had, you know, some back history with what they sounded like and where they were going. But I think from a musicianship perspective, the record label was wanting him to step it up to the next level. You know, not that I was a better player than anyone else that they had, because honestly, I probably wasn't. I think my style, stylistically, I work in the studio very well. So I think that they needed someone who could go in, who really knew how to listen to a click track and could follow it and be able to play around it.
Yeah.
And was just solid, you know. So, and I was a local guy and they went with it. So next thing we knew, you know, we were signed. And they shipped us off to Nashville, and we went into studio with Jim Scott, who had done obviously all the Tom Petty records, and from Tom Petty to Danzig and everybody else. Who was the producer? Rick Rubin, I think, was producer on a lot of those records.
How do you remember all these names, Steven? I'm so impressed. Well, I can't remember people I dated.
You know, strangely, a lot of these guys with two of the Damwells records, Rick Scott, via the record label, ended up mixing those records.
Oh, wow.
You know,
wow.
When we were throwing around names for big time guys, they were like, well, do you guys know who Jim Scott is? And we were like, oh yeah, we kind of do. Yeah, you know, we were in Nashville and we made this record, and it was a very tumultuous time. You know, Ryan was not in a great place, and we went in the studio for pre-production. And I think that some band members wanted us to go in more of the country route, the alt country route, really stay in that Americana genre. And then as we got into the pre-recording and the rehearsals, you know, Jim was really drawn to some of the more upbeat mid-tempo rock that I brought to the table with Ryan on some of the tracks. So he kind of leaned heavily like, hey, we like the country thing, but listen to this version of Yesterday's News, you know, with Steve playing it. it's got a whole different feel to it, you know? And so some of the,
but they were looking for you to bring a little bit more energy to it, which obviously you did.
Oh yeah. You know, we were going to put, you know, they wanted to feel the floor on the floor, you know,
there you go.
they wanted it there. And
you say, I know how to do that, man. I was in church. I had to get them, get people moving and dancing.
That's right. Watch out, you know, somebody will run over you. So, yes, I mean, that was right in my wheelhouse. That was like easy for me, to be honest. It was like easy. I sit and listen to it today, and sometimes I'm thinking, man, did I play the exact same beat on that song as I did on that song? And I listen to it and I go, darn, I did. It's like they almost, but it doesn't bother me. I'm fine with that.
No, it works. And, you know, let's just face it. You know, the rhythm tracks are really so major on stuff that you're going to have the same feel in lots of songs.
Of course, right? Especially when you're strapped to a mid-tempo rock band.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. Exactly. You're right down the wheelhouse of, you know, the greats like Tom Petty, where you've just got that, you know, the drum beat can change just by a little inflection on the hi-hat or a pickup on the snare, and it's a totally different song because the songs are so good. You know, Ryan's songs were just fantastic. So I didn't have, all I could do was just stay out of the way and not screw it up, to be perfectly honest.
Well, we're going to play a track off of Whiskey Town. And I, you know, of course, not even knowing the background with you, I've been listening to this song for years, but it's called 16 Days for all those people out there that are just now listening. So this is Stephen Terry's played with Whiskey Town and Damn Wells. And he's got a new project going on right now that's completely different from any of that. We're going to talk about it in the next segment. But for right now, we're going to listen to 16 Days with the Whiskey Town. And you're listening to Stephen Terry on the drums. And I'm really enjoying getting to know all this. But we'll be right back.
Got 16 days. One for every time I've gone away. One for every time I should have stayed. You should have wore my wedding ring. Got 16 days, 15 of those are nights. Can't sleep when the bed she fights. It's way back to your side.
Away from you, away from you, away.
Well, we're back with Stephen Terry, and he's a transplant. Where should I say you're actually from? Because I know you spent a lot of time up in New York area and over in the East Coast. But where would you say you identify that you came from to be part of Texas now?
Oh, man. You know, New York, I mean, obviously the mountains of West Virginia are what they are. You know, it's a beautiful place to grow up in, but very secluded, very sheltered from the outside world. I have to admit, I felt like I really started to grow as a human being on the planet. Once I moved away from there, I spent 6 years in Raleigh, North Carolina. And then, as the band started, as Whiskey's Town, as we started to split up, Ryan called me and said, you know, I'm moving to New York. And I said, well, are we still going to be a band? You know, what's going on with this big breakup and with you and Phil not being able to get along? How does this work? And he said, well, I love playing with you. If you're in New York, I want to continue it. So I contacted the label and they helped me via some friends of ours find an apartment in New York and, you know, the whole nine yards. And so I hopped on the train and I moved to New York and spent the better of almost 20 years there. At full living there full time. I had a break in between and lived in Tyler, Texas for 2 years with my ex-wife and my kids, and then loved Brooklyn so much that we turned around and went back.
Okay.
Yeah, and spent another 6 years there. And, you know, it's just an amazing place. So I like to say that my heart is in the hills of West Virginia. My soul is in the middle of the East Village in Brooklyn, but my rear end is in McKinney, Texas. So
we'll take you. Yeah. We'll take you. And you know, my husband's from up there. He grew up in New Jersey and lived in New York and loves it. And it's always one of our favorite places to visit for sure.
Yes.
Because it's just so eclectic and so full of life and so full of, you know, living in Texas. I'm a Texas girl. I've, you know, grew up in the South there. You know, I do love it. I do love the hospitality of being from the South and people that it seems like they don't have a problem trying to get to know you. I think the East Coast gets a bad rap. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people think that they're not as friendly as we are in the South. But the reality is, you know, it's what you make it.
That's right.
And, you know, I feel like if you're sweet, if you're kind to other people, they'll be kind back to you. But what I love about New York is just the music scene, and I like the food, and I like the, you know, I just like all that real fast pace. It's a nice...
It's beautiful. Yeah. It drives your creativity, you know?
Yeah, it really does.
It really does. If you're someone who's a writer or a songwriter and you need, you know, inspiration, you know, you can get a lot of inspiration out of beautiful trees and, you know, so on and so forth. But when you can walk into a park and sit down and watch one interaction after another interaction after another interaction of millions of people and how life works and how it moves, you're so emotionally challenged every day to deal with something that's uncomfortable or pleasant or hard or physically demanding that it drives your creativity, you know?
Absolutely.
And so that's the part I probably miss about it. Now, that being said, you know, when I looked at, you know, where the situation, the life situation with my children and stuff, where it was going to take me, you know, when I went online and everywhere else and started looking at Dallas in particular, and I have toured through here so much over the years, already it was fairly familiar and have a lot of friends here already, most of them in the arts and music world. So they're in Dallas proper. But I started looking at McKinney, and, you know, it's such an amazing little town that you would think, oh, a little town, and you're like, what, 200,000 people probably now? And that's not a little
town. Yeah, we are. It's not a little town anymore, is it?
No. And, you know, so I have really, I've really been embraced by the people here. And, you know, for someone who does what I do, to move somewhere and have the resources and just through networking in a year or two to be able to do what I'm doing now, it's kind of hard to do, you know, starting over. It's starting over fresh is tough, you know. So I left a lot of resources and was able to come here. Of course, my history is good because someone says, oh, what'd you do? You know, and I can show them a history. They say, oh, well, he knows what he's doing.
Well, let's talk about that. So real quick, I do want to mention that you went from Whiskey Town to Damwells.
Yes.
And had real great success with them, by the way.
Yes, we sure did. That band is, you know, once again, an incredible songwriter, which is the backbone of the whole entire process. And all you can do from that point is make them sound better and not screw it up, not try to take it too far out of where it's at. You know, I went through that with the last record that we did for Epic Records. You know, we had this, they were setting us up with two other bands that were signed, The Fray and a band called Augustana. And they were going to put us out on tour together and do all this stuff. And, you know, The Fray was going to be one of these bands that was going to be on, you know, any TV show that you watched or that sort of thing, you know. And so they were looking for us to fall in that. So they had us record the same song six times in six different ways and six different drum beats. And, you know, it became this thing where we were trying to create something that would sell to the masses or that was marketable, as opposed to just letting the music be great. You know, so that band.
Well, you know, it's sad, but I find that you have to take control of that, because only somebody else can, you know, suggest that you try to do something that's gonna be good for the masses. I know that as a songwriter, so many people, I think that they miss the mark there. It's like, what are you trying to say here? Is there a message that you're trying to give? Or are you just trying to do something that you think everybody's going to like? You have to make a decision.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and the industry has become the cookie cutter. You know, they want your song to fall into so many BPMs, beeps per minute, and they want it to be 3 minutes and 15 seconds long, and they want it to start with this and end with this, and they have a formula. They literally at one point put us in a formula with The Fray, and they had this software that they put it in, and they said that when they sent to projections, when Epic dropped us, they said when they put in the numbers that they looked at The Fray being able to sell 1.5 million records plus. They said that Augustana, they looked at selling at around a half a million, and they looked at us being around 300,000. And strangely enough, that's where they all fell. They know what they're selling. You know, they have a formula for it. And so when they send those projections out, they realize that, well, if The Fray's going to sell $1.5 million, then we're going to spend $1 million to get them to $1.5 million. If the Damwells are going to sell 300,000 records, we're only going to spend the amount of money necessary to get them to that $300,000. So in the system itself, it's set up to keep you in your demographic. Now, can things explode? And had we had, you know, 15 years ago, the same avenues of release that we have now with the digital marketing and with on.
Right. It could have been a whole different ball game. And it is a different ball game now. And that's why, you know, I love to talk to, I love to hear from artists when they say, you know what, I'm doing what I know is true to me, true to my soul, makes me happy. And a lot of times that's not going to get them to stardom,
right?
But it's going to keep them happy, and they're going to have longevity because they'll continue to play. I mean, you know, you obviously have been down this road, and you know, there's lots of musicians out there that have done it, got burnout and said, I'm done, and walk away. I don't want to see people do that. I want to see them be true to their craft and be able to give what it is that's in their soul. So, I want to come back. When we come back, I want to spin a song off the Damwells, and I picked a song. You tell me about it. Is called Golden Days.
Oh yeah, what a great track!
I love that track. As soon as I heard it, I was like, "That's the one I want to play." Makes me feel good.
They also had that. I think that was in the Ryan Reynolds film. I don't know. It's the one with him on the bicycle and he has his legs up in the air and he's riding the bike down the street. I forget the name of the song. Yeah, but they used that in a soundtrack as well. And it was very well done.
Well, yeah, no, you guys had a couple songs in some soundtracks. I think you said you had something in Hope. Was it with Whiskey Town or Damwells that had Hope Float?
Oh, with Whiskey Town. Yeah, we were in that, in the soundtrack for Hope Floats. And, you know, that was great because the other artist that was on that soundtrack was Garth Brooks. And Garth Brooks was pretty darn huge. They sent us, you got a couple of platinum records out of that. I told them, I said, can you send me a check? And they're like, yeah, maybe, we have a couple platinum records for you, that's always a privilege to have something that you never thought that, that 2 or 3 million people picked up and bought a soundtrack that you were on and got to hear your music. I had a cousin of mine that was a soundtrack he had, and I've known him my whole life, and it was 10 years before he realized that I was in Whiskey Town and played on that soundtrack. Like, are you kidding me? He was like, well, I don't know, man. I don't keep up with that stuff. He lives in West Virginia, So he was like, I've loved that soundtrack.
And what a great feeling for you, though, Stephen.
I puffed my chest out and flexed my biceps a little bit. I was like, yeah.
Well, you should. You should be proud of that work. Well, we're going to play that song Golden Days from the Damwells, which is the other band that you played in for a long time. So you did the tour thing. You've done the music thing for decades. But when we come back, we're going to talk about a new venture that you've got going on now that I personally have already been able to partake of, and it's really fantastic, and I'm so excited about it, and I'm glad that we got you as a transplant here to Texas. So I know you love New York, and I know you miss the hill country of Virginia, but I'm hoping that you'll continue to make McKinney your home, and we'll come back and talk about that. So if you're just listening in, it's Maley Thomas with Texas Homegrown Music, my friend Stephen Terry, the drummer from Whiskey Town and Damwells, and now he's got a new venture coming that he's just started, and I want to share it with all of you guys. It's called CT Provisions in McKinney, Texas. Do not make the mistake and come through McKinney and not stop at this place. It is really cool. But we'll be right back and talk about that in just a minute.
Let's go ahead.
tangled in chains of golden days. Am I in tune? Yeah, I can't hear much but the melody coming from you. Baby, please don't rush, keep the tempo slow and
back with Stephen Terry, and for those of you that don't know that this about him, I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to brag a little bit. An incredible drummer with Whiskey Town and the Damwells, but we feel so fortunate to have him in a concept that he started here in McKinney, Texas, called CT Provisions, and it's a really cool, I'm going to call it a bistro. I don't know what you would want to call it, how you want to call it, but I know this. As much as I love traveling all over the country and going to restaurants, it really does give me a vibe of a really cool place up in New York. So tell me what you started on this, and tell me about it so these people that are listening can know what they can expect at CT Provisions.
Well, I'll be brief and as fast as I can. I was owned a few places in New York because when you're in an entertainment business, you better know how to bartend or do something else in between tours or you'll be broke. So I knew how to build. I knew how to design. I opened a beautiful venue in Brooklyn called Southpaw, and later opened a restaurant there called Salem's Hour, named after my daughter, Salem. Sold that when I moved to McKinney, and thought, you know, I really wanted to create something that is music oriented. Had another space in downtown McKinney. COVID hit, investors got scared. It was going to be a dual music venue with a lounge type of thing. In the process of that, I met my partner now, Manny Casas. And he was very well known in the downtown McKinney area.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's been on the floorboard of a lot of great
of a lot of places. I ran an ad on Craigslist and was asking for potential investors. And Manny was one of the guys that called me up, and I went down and showed him the space I was working on and building out and designing at the time. And we just kind of gelled. We had kind of the same vision, the speakeasy, something a little different. That didn't work out, and we never stopped. We just kept pushing forward. We were like, we're going to find the space. We're going to find the space. We want to do it in downtown. We think our downtown is so amazing compared to the rest of North Texas. And so found the space at the old Donut Kitchen at 102 Louisiana Street, and went in and started. You know, we went through three or four different design ideas in our head and how we wanted to make it work and how we were going to keep it in budget. And how much money did we have? How much money could we come up to make this happen? And, you know, so it was a sort of a combination. Manny, one, his ideas of design were right down the same alley of my ideas of design. We didn't buck each other too much when it came to that. I'd walk in and there would be 15 swatches of paint on the wall, and we'd figure out which one looked the best. And that's what we did.
So here you go, another song with Stephen Terry on the drums with a band called the Damwells. And I love this song. It's called I Will Keep the Bad Things From You.
I will keep the bad things from you. I will keep a straight face, honey. You keep your last name if you want to. I will give you all my money. I can take a plane right to you. If I could just stop running. And what if all this was true? I will keep the bank from calling. I will keep those bastards from you. I will keep your smile from falling. This time the casualties were few. Cause we kept the bastards brawling. We kept our hearts. time we're problem solving. Catch it while you can, it's the feel-good hit of the summer. Catch it while you can, 'cause there won't be another. You keep the band names coming, I'll make the jokes real funny. We'll keep the skeptics humming, and someone else will take the money. We'll keep the hamsters running, I'll be the sour in your tummy. Cool wipe the nose that's running. Catch it while you can, it's the feel-good hit of the summer. Catch it while you can, 'cause there won't be another.
Show today with my good friend John Christopher Davis, the title track off his new EP called The Ride.
I've been rolling down the highway, singing the same old song, paying dues and worn out shoes, bending, riding wrong. Dashboard confessions blowing through my mind like Santa Ana winds on this long road tonight. Boy, I used to know I'm leaving in the past. He thought it was so tough till I kicked his ass. See, the less I know, no one's ever in control. If you're willing to let go, you'll finally find that new horizon. Fast, the blink of an eye. I think think I finally get it. I might as well get stoned. It's all about the ride down Redemption Road. Oh, gotta keep on rolling. Oh, gotta keep on rolling. Oh, gotta keep on. Put the hammer down tonight. Oh, gotta keep on rolling. Oh, gotta keep on rolling. Oh, gotta keep on rolling till I see the
So I really hope you guys enjoyed today's show. I know I did. And I think that drummers get a bad rap sometimes because they are a vital part of a band. I promise you, as a musician myself and someone that leads a band, the rhythm section really does drive you all the time. And I know for me, I love having a powerful drummer behind me and somebody that can keep the beat where I feel like I'm really energized by it. So I enjoyed getting to know Steve and Terry and knowing that he started out in life kind of the same way I did, you know, playing gospel music and being able to explore the world through the eyes of a drummer is interesting, isn't it? He talks about a lot of different things that he experienced from, you know, being part of a band that didn't make it to part of bands that did, and just the wear and tear on your body and your mind when you're on the road full time. It's an interesting way of life, and I'm grateful that I've gotten to experience it, and I hope I get to experience it some more. And I certainly love bringing these musicians to light and sharing them with the world. So you guys be sure to check out next week. We're going to have Helen Cronin on, and she's a singer-songwriter from Texas, and I really adore her. She's got a great vibe about her, and I think you're going to find it interesting as well. So come back and see me, Texas Homegrown Music with Maylee Thomas. Remember to love life. You get out of it what you put into it. Peace out, and we'll see you next time.